possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Stay tuned following Jeremy and Joe. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. How's it going?
Happy Tuesday.
We got some news.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Well, I was planning on talking about James Cook today. Didn't know if he would practice today, sign a contract, what have you. It's likely going to be James Cook Day with Hard Knocks coming out tonight at 9.
Right.
Lo and behold, Sean McDermott speaks around 9, says he expects Cook to practice. Conversations have gone in a good way. Things have changed, what have you. We have about 15, 20 minutes where we're like, but is he actually going to practice? And then, lo and behold, James Cook, back at practice, appears in full, and we'll see what goes from there. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Of course, that is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We will talk to Sal in about 10 minutes. He's over at practice. Get his thoughts on this whole thing. But I think right off the bat, Derek, we've gone back and forth talking about this, too, of this whole situation. It has been one of the weirder ones. It's never gotten as contentious as Trey Hendrickson or even what Micah Parsons is at, Terry McLaurin. It's never gotten to an official holdout like Trey Hendrickson and Terry McLaurin were, but it has taken weird turns. He showed up at everything he needed to in the offseason, showed up to camp, was an immediate participant and full participant.
Took part in 8 practices.
And then decided to hold in. And then on Saturday, it appears, due to a conversation between him and his coach, he decided, I'll warm up. I'm just not going to play. Now, that is a little less weird, having actually seen how it went down, because there was a lot of players that warmed up that were not going to play. I think Cole Bishop also was like in uniform, and he's limited today. But in a way, at every turn, James Cook, his representatives, or both, have taken the road less traveled.
To a point where I think the best word to say how this saga has gone is weird. This is weird now.
Mm-hmm.
It is getting to a point where you cannot correctly predict what is going to happen next. And not in a chaotic way, but just in a weird way. It's just not something that you're normally used to seeing. It's not, like you said, it's the road less traveled. It's almost unconventional in a sense of how everything has gone down at this point. However, there's a new wrinkle to all of this. He's suddenly not alone. Of course, he gets back to practice, but Cam Hayward in the Pittsburgh Steelers, we'll talk about that a little later. But now that's another person that started out going to practices and has now started a hold-in.
Yeah, and that's why that story has gotten the traction it has in the last few days, is because of how it's been handled, a lot like Cook. It's just, for me now, most of these situations, this would happen, and we'd be sitting here for the next 2 hours going, okay, what's the deal going to look like? A deal's been signed. Now we can't really say that.
Right.
Because he did practice for 8 days and then hold in and then sort of warmed up in practice or at the game and then didn't play and now is back. I mean, tomorrow he could begin the hold in again. And this was just seen as like goodwill. Help out the team a little bit, which is commendable in many ways, but also kind of not how you do this. And that's more my big thing. Number one, I think Cook's asking price is ridiculous. I think the $15 million is a bit much.
It's rich.
And don't give me that they signed a tight end for money. No, we're looking at the position's value. The highest paid running back per year makes $20 million. If you want to complain about that, that's fine. But Cook is not going to be the guy that is going to reset the market and get running backs back to where they were in the 70s and 80s, being the premier position. That is not going to happen. Cook was on the field last year for 48% of the offensive snaps. He is not one of their key pass blockers. He is not in pass pro. Ty Johnson, they openly acknowledge, is their preferred third down back.
Right.
He's not going to make $15 million a year. If that is what he has been dead set on and that they're not close to a deal, then we're going to be here for a while. I don't think he'll ever actually miss games. That is where you genuinely are ruining your career. Even his brother, Dalvin Cook, did not get to that point. He got his deal right before the start of the season, and he did make a pretty penny on it. His career just derailed pretty soon afterwards. He's more of a cautionary tale for teams, not for players.
And I think the other part of this is his contemporary, Kyren Williams, looking for a new deal. He gets a 3-year, 11 per season. There's no way you're getting more than Kyren Williams right now based on on-field usage. Are you still really going to stress on it has to be $15 million a year? Because the market is telling you it's not going to happen, much like how it told you almost from the beginning. And you're supposed to set a higher number so that you can come down to a more median term. But the fact that there has been no deal done kind of tells me that there's a sticking point that his agent is really refusing to budge from. And considering the hot water said agent got in with the Shamar Stewart situation with Cincinnati and how all that was handled, I'm really starting to think that James Cook is getting bad advice from his agent. But it's good to see he's back at practice today. And yet, at the same time, I'm not as confident anymore in if it's over today or not. Meanwhile, HBO execs have got to be punching air right now.
Well, now this is what
they
I thought.
They are seeing James Cook practice, and there's like secretly a meltdown in a production truck happening. So if anyone sees like an HBO production truck like shaking, that's someone absolutely pissed right now.
Yeah, the editing is going right to hell. Now, I think I think for the premiere, they handed in the finished cut at like 3 p.m. that day.
Yeah.
But to that point, like the perfect scenario for Hard Knocks is the Darrell Revis Holden when they did the Jets all those years ago. That's how they ended the season, was Darrell Revis getting his contract and arriving at practice.
Right.
That's how they ended it. Cook would be, I imagine tonight's episode is predominantly going to be about Cook's Holden.
Right.
There's not much else has happened. There's been a few injuries, but nothing major. They've already done the Harrison stuff. You'll have the first preseason game. That's about it. But if all of a sudden today, leading into the episode, we have a deal done, it becomes very old news very quickly.
Right.
And this is still a TV show for HBO. They still want ratings. They still want that to be high.
They want there to be some sort of drama because for Bills fans, I'm going to say this as nicely as possible. Bills fans will enjoy anything Bills like. Bills related with the Hard Knocks thing. Like,
well, the Bills were boring on episode one, and we had a lot of people saying like that's what they preferred.
And again,
that's what they wanted.
But again, Bills fans love Bills content for Hard Knocks, probably no matter what at that point. The casual NFL fan calls this one of the most boring debut episodes that there is. And now, the first moment that you actually get a whiff of drama, Cook is practicing again? What the hell?
It's also one of those of like, welcome to covering a good team. Who, for the most part, and I mean, you go back to even Bean's comments on our station, 9 years is the first time he's had one of these situations. The Bills are really good at getting their business done. They avoid a lot of drama. They usually move off of guys a year before it's a problem. And even the Stephon Diggs stuff was more drama of, did you adequately replace him? Is the receiver room going to tank? Is the offense going to tank? You can say what you want about the receiver room. They did average 30 points per year last year. The offense did not fall off a cliff. It's that all due to Josh Allen. Is a mix of it with James Cook as well. It's up to interpretation. It's how you feel about it. But that's like been the most drama they've had, especially out of season. In season is a little different. They've had some, you know, tight wire seasons. 2021 is one I think about, and you know, 2023 as well. But for the most part, their off seasons have been relatively boring.
And considering the unconventional hold-in that has already happened as it is, the fact that it could be done within a week, of their, like, they hand in their production meeting and he's back.
Yeah.
Or they hand in the production on this thing, the last bit of it's taken care of, and then he's back at practice. It's like, what are we doing here?
We'll see what happens, though. Let's go to the Western Hotline live from practice. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, we have a new wrinkle with James Cook. He's back at practice.
Yeah, good wrinkle, right? I mean, James Cook is here. He's out on the practice field right now. I posted a little while ago. You can take a look at him. He is in the flesh and blood uniform, helmet, shoulder pads, everything here with James Cook out at practice today. So, obviously, that's great news for the Buffalo Bills.
Now, on Cook, and Sal, me and Derek have talked about this, it almost feels like at every turn, Cook, his representatives both have taken kind of the road less traveled, whether it be to start practicing, then to hold in, showing up to everything, even though everyone knows you're looking for a new contract, what have you. In years past, this would be a signal that there is probably a deal done, that we're kind of all waiting for the notification, here's the terms, and let's ride. I can't totally say I feel that way after, you know, the past few months with Cook. Not to say that's a negative. I just can't say for sure, at least personally, that a deal has probably been done.
No, I mean, I don't know if I could get that far with it either. I think that this is just him practicing and him talking with Sean McDermott on whatever their conversation was about him getting on the field. And we have no indication about anything with contractually. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm not saying it can't happen anytime in the next day, hours, whatever. But we have no indication that's the case. All we know is today James Cook is practicing.
And Sal, that kind of leans into the whole mystique of this hold-in in the first place and the contract situation altogether. We don't know what's going to happen next at this point. Not in a chaotic way, but it seems like this has got to be one of the more unconventional contract situations that we've seen in the league in a couple of years.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I haven't gone back and studied every hold-in in the league and how they lasted or how long they've gone on. And I know Cam Hayward's going through something right now in Pittsburgh as well that's making news. Look, we don't know what's going on behind the closed doors at One Bills Drive. All we know is what, you know, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have kind of been telling us. So it feels to me like, you know, given Sean McDermott's kind of indications here and what he's been saying about go time and getting guys back on the field and how important it is, him having a conversation with James Cook, it feels like, okay, James has made his point and the Bills also need him to practice. So, I don't know if it's any different or not different than most hold-ins because I haven't really studied them because the Bills have never gone through this, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and that was being said on the station that it is 9 years. This is the first time it's happened. So it is somewhat, you know, untested waters. Sal, we also got a bit of an injury update today. I think it is really good news for the Bills and for the fans to hear that Cole Bishop is going to be limited today. He took part, I believe, in the warm-up on Saturday before the game. A number of players did that didn't ultimately end up playing. But Bishop, it really does feel like he needs to get back to practice. He missed most of training camp last year. He's missed a good bit of it this year with a quad injury. It's got to be a great sign that he's at least somewhat back.
Yeah, for sure. And I see him right now. He is in uniform, and he's out on the practice field, so he's going to be limited today. That's great news, obviously. Same with Taylor Rapp. He's limited. I see him right here on the field. He's in uniform. Curtis Samuel and Alec Anderson, guys, both were actually doing stuff with trainers. I'll have a video of that later. We got to wait on that. But I'll show you that they were off to the side in uniform with trainers doing some things. And just so you know, James Cook is on the field for, you know, his not only individual but team portion as well. So that's good. But, yeah, getting guys back that are limited is obviously very encouraging. And that's exactly, you know, what's happening.
Now, Sal, for this week, we do know the Bills are going to be doing the joint practice with the Chicago Bears. That is going to be later on this week, correct? So how does the practice schedule actually go for this week?
Yeah, so they'll be on the practice field today. They're out there right now. And then tomorrow will be pretty much the same. Carbon copy tomorrow, regular practice, training camp practice. This is still considered training camp. I know we're back here in Orchard Park, but they're still considered training camp. And the team, we get, as a media, we get to watch everything. And then Thursday, the team will charter to Chicago. Friday will be a joint practice with the Bears. Sunday night will be the game against the Bears. And obviously, that's preseason game number two. We'll see how much the starters play again or if they do or, you know, whatever's happening with that.
And on
Sean McDermott did not give an indication, by the way, today of anything with that. He was asked about Josh possibly playing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On Sunday, he said we'll see. And obviously, that could also be determined about what kind of work they get or don't get done in Chicago on Friday.
And on joint practice, Sal, I've been of the opinion that I think coaches prefer those over preseason games. I don't know if it's unanimous around the league, but I do feel like joint practices are becoming a much more you see it much more than in years past. Is that the feeling you get, or do coaches prefer kind of their in-house work and then they play the preseason games?
You know, it varies from team to team. I think there was a time where I saw a lot of them, and then we didn't see any for a while. I think they're coming back now. Teams are getting – and part of the reason is, guys, you only get three preseason games, no more four, right? I think that's part of it. You get an extra day of work, like a kind of a fourth preseason game. You have a full roster to evaluate. That's part of it. But, look, this is an individual choice amongst coaches. The Bills haven't done one – hadn't done one in a while, and then all of a sudden they did last year. They are doing one this year. The Bears are having two of them. They had one last week against the Dolphins. They're having one this week against the Bills. Every team is different. It really is. Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have indicated many times it's about trust, having trust with the other team to get the work done. You don't want to go out there and everybody's just fighting all the time and you're getting nothing done. And it's not productive and it's risky. That's not the goal of these joint practices. It is to get work done, having guys go against other people, other teams, seeing different offenses, different defenses, different styles, different individuals going against you. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what the numbers are as far as individual joint practices. I feel like they kind of were really popular in the early 2000s, and then they went away for a while. I feel like they're coming back now, but I do think that might be a product of having three preseason games instead of four.
And Sal, to go further on that, I do believe that its popularity also has to do with there's a degree of control still that live action won't give you, in particular, quarterback hits. You're able to protect your quarterback, yeah, but get a lot of live reps as you would. And I'd imagine, especially for the Bears, having one last week with Miami and now this week with Buffalo, a good way to get Caleb Williams up to speed.
No doubt about it. And especially with a new head coach, right, and Ben Johnson, and a new, you know, he's the offensive play caller and a head coach. So that's an entirely new install. And it's interesting, like, this is what I mean by it's everybody's individual, he's different. Like, to me, okay, the Bears, hey, have a new play caller, a new head coach. From the outside, I'm like, okay, don't they need as much time on task with his own coaches? But they feel it's more beneficial to go against another team. So I think that's just so different for every team. It varies from team to team, and everybody's got their own reasons why they want to do things. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes forward, but we know the Bills will be in Chicago Friday for a joint practice. I agree with you about, though, the control, the quarterbacks. Friday, you don't hit the quarterbacks. They'll have red jerseys. So you can get Josh Allen as much work as possible and hopefully stays out of harm's way. I mean, obviously, guys are flying around trying to beat their man around the edge and all that. But you don't touch the quarterbacks. And then, you know, once you get to Sunday, all bets are off because it's a preseason game.
All right, Sal. We'll let you get back to practice. We hear anything, you know where to find us.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts on... Seems to be a positive update on the James Cook situation. He is practicing. We don't know if this means the hold-in for all of it is done. There still cannot come to an agreement on a contract. We talked to Sal right there, and both of us kind of feel the same way. Derek, I know you feel the same way. Because of how this has gone, unlike years past where you'd see this and go, where's my Adam Schefter, where's my Ian Rapoport notification? I'm just waiting on those.
You're waiting for the contract to drop.
Yeah. It's not that anymore. This could, I think, just be goodwill. It could just be, you know, I held in for a little while. We're having better talks. We'll get back to practice. Think about
Or it could be you played your last hand and you lost.
Could be that. But, I mean, we talked about it last week, too. Could this have been they were having good talks, and they hit a wall, and that's where Cook pulled himself. And it could be the good talks are continuing again. All right, I'll get back on the practice field. Again, a little bit of a goodwill thing of I'm not here to hold in. I am here to work. But I need to get my deal. It still could be that. We do not know the inner workings of the negotiation. The only thing that really stumped that was when Bean spoke on our station, he did make it sound like they weren't that close to a contract.
And furthermore, it does seem to be conflicting reports on that. Like we saw it from Diana Rossini mm-hmm. of The Athletic of, you know, they're not very far off, everything like that. I look at it as you played your last hand and you lost. Why? Ty Johnson looked really good on Saturday.
Right. Well, you all thought it was going to be Ray Davis, but instead it was Ty Johnson. They didn't look bad.
It's the Bills going ahead and saying, we can do this without you. You're either here or you're not. And you could see, like, you could really get the palpable agitation that McDermott had talking about it on Saturday, being asked questions about it. It is to a point, I think it is. We're moving on without you if you're not back.
Yeah.
That could also be it. Like, there's so many different ways you can look at this and go, okay, he's back at practice today. Why? And the answer is we don't truly know. And we're never really going to know unless somebody actually says something publicly. And I doubt that that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there are so many different reasons you could posit for a theory.
mine is you played your last hand and you lost. The team's ready to move on without you. You better get back on the practice field.
Well, and on that too, I mean, we've talked about this for months.
Because then you're costing Cook. Yourself millions.
Yeah, but I mean, we've talked about this for months with Cook. He hasn't really any leverage. Yes, this is the last year, and if they don't do something, he'll hit free agency. They could franchise tag him.
Right.
And if he really wanted to start missing games, which I think he'd have, if he really was missing games, he'd have to come back by week 12.
Yes.
He'd have to play at least six games. Cool. Do that. And then if they want to, they will franchise tag you. And if you don't sign that, we're at the Le'Veon Bell situation where, cool, you're just going to hold out and that you're not going to get the money you wanted. Just flat out, you're not going to, and it's going to kill your career.
If you skip one regular season game, you're losing yourself millions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it outright.
Well, especially a rookie deal and a running back rookie deal.
That's not how running backs it's going to work at this mm-hmm. point. You've seen how it works.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold out into the season, the Bills are a good enough offense that they can move on without you. Will they be third in the league, second in the league? Maybe not, but they'll be good enough because you have the NFL's MVP at the helm.
Well, but also, too, if on Cook, you better hope they're not. Because if Ray Davis is even close to what you – and by the way, he put a little over 1,000 yards and 16 touchdowns. But what if Davis is a little over 1,000 yards and, like, 12 touchdowns because he gets to the goal line, too? Or it's just a mix between Davis him and Ty,
like,
Johnson.
What if it's a mix between the two of them where, it, like, 800 yards and 600 yards?
Yeah. And they're just fine.
It
all of a sudden is, again – where is your value? It's not to me. It is just. It's not $15 million. He is not a good pass blocker. He's on the field less than 50% of the offensive snaps on a season. He's not even their preferred third down back. I brought up the Josh Allen quote a lot. It's not him trashing Cook. It is just they are telling you how the Bills feel about the running back position. They like to do it by committee. There can be your A back. There can be your number one, and James Cook is their number one.
They have a tendency to draft one almost every year.
But that's the thing, too. Ray Davis is, what, a third-round pick 2 years ago?
Fourth-round
pick 2 years ago. But guys like Bucky Irving were fifths, and they've immediately taken over as starting roles.
And the Bills have invested high picks into multiple running backs in the past as it is. You're not even the first one in this regime.
No. You're the first one that's maybe had an honest conversation of, should we pay them?
Yes.
But I'm with Sneaky Joe in the morning. Until I see it, I don't really believe they're going to do it or want to do it.
I think it's also – I don't know if it's a want. I think it is acknowledgement that they cannot afford it long term, even in a couple of years, because you're still in a very tight window here that you've got the best of Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me they acknowledge that they are not going to be able to afford him. And maybe they want to and they try to – get things done, but I don't know. It just seems to me like a front office that acknowledges that they don't have the cap to go forward to meet the demands of Cook and his agent.
803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Your thoughts on the James Cook situation? It does appear to have taken a good turn, but no word yet on if the deal has been met. He is, though, practicing in full as the Bills get back to work. They play the Chicago Bears this Sunday night for preseason game number two. Again, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
I would say so that things have changed. And yes, we've had conversations with James, good conversations, as I've mentioned before. The information that we're getting is that he is moving in the direction of practicing today. So see you in a few minutes here, but that's the information we've gotten.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott before practice, and ultimately it did lead to James Cook back on the practice field in full, in pads, the whole thing. So it's not just him hanging out there, stretching, what have you. He's out there. Does this mean, though, a deal is imminent, or it's just another kind of awkward, weird turn in what has been kind of an awkward and weird negotiation for James Cook to get a new deal?
And there's a bevy of ways you could think about this. You put it up on the good old Twitter of why do you think he's back? And the theory should be there, bountiful, I would say. Different ways that people would think why it's happening. And I guess that's kind of the beauty in it is that we could talk about it in a more positive light of why he's back at practice instead of why he's holding out. We all know why he was holding out. or holding in, excuse me. But we know why. This, it's like, it's almost as if the mystery of it and the intrigue is far more fascinating to me. Why do you think he came back? It's all so fascinating. But at the same time, glad to see he's back at practice. That's something everyone can agree on.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know if it's truly over.
No, because, I mean, that's how this has been for both positives and negatives.
Right.
It's been very different because, I mean, we mentioned it, too, during the mandatory minicamp part of the offseason where it was, is Cook going to come in? We've seen the national reports. I mean, it was either Adam Schefter or Ian Rapoport. I can't remember which one it was. Outright saying, I don't expect Cook to be in Buffalo anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
3 days later, he's in Buffalo for mandatory minicamp. No issue. That's right. A national guy that should be completely locked in, at least with the agents. And it didn't matter. He was in Buffalo. Then we get to training camp. Okay, is James Cook going to play? That's the only interesting storyline for Hard Knocks to lean to. And he's playing. Okay, he's practicing. But only for 8 days before the first preseason game, he's pulled himself out of practice. To a certain extent, a complete shock to everybody. It was
right.
A random Sunday practice. Everyone thought it was a vet rest day. And it was only when people went up to talk to him did we find out that he was holding in.
Right. Because everyone, like, maybe it was, you're a little banged up because mm-hmm. everyone else has been. What else is new? Nope. It is because of business. And you just made a face, and I'm going to complete my point before I get to this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also because of the fact that this has been as weird as it has been that I'm definitely going to say this right now. I have no appetite to do this again in March. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
No appetite.
Zero appetite to do this again in March. Thank you very much. If you hit the franchise tag on them, I'm going to be more mad at the Bills than I am at Cook.
That would be their first time doing so since Cordy Glenn. And with that being said, it would be their first time with Bean at the helm.
Right.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. James tweets in, a theory. Because of the contract situation, Cook is being extra sensitive to any nicks, soreness, and bruises he might have beyond what one mm-hmm. might normally take time off for. That could also play into the Bills maybe not totally knowing where this is going, because if he wakes up and like, oh, my leg's just a little, I'm not practicing. I'm not doing anything.
I'm going to use the business side of it too.
Mm-hmm.
Again, theories are fun because he's back.
I think that also probably would just be like maybe one of the right ways to do it. It's like, I'll practice. If I feel 100%, I'll practice. The moment I feel 99, because we're in a contract situation and because of the position he plays, this is your likely one big deal. This. And I know that's probably why, as much as I'll, you know, kind of fight back on it, why he's probably pushing for a higher number and seeing how much it can come down. Is because this is probably the only big contract. Other positions can get two, maybe even three
That's
big
correct.
Contracts. Running backs, you look at the first one after your rookie deal, and that's kind of about it. After that, you hope to maybe get a 1-2 year deal, a lot of guarantees up front, and that's it. So Cook, and I think James might be spot on here, might be extra sensitive with how his body's feeling, because if he botches this, And I say that as that it's not anything necessarily him doing wrong, but if he just picks up a high ankle sprain,
it's over.
Anything, it could really derail the entire process to him getting even close to what he wants,
even half to what he wants.
He may want 15. He picks up a high ankle sprain, misses a few weeks to start the season.
You're looking at 7, maybe.
You know, and look, do I think he's worth around what Kyron Williams is? Yes. Kyron Williams is not nearly as an explosive of a runner. You even look at their yards per carry. It's not even close. Cook blows him out of the water. But he is on the field 90% of the time for the Rams. They ask a very different
more.
Thing for him. Yeah. That, I think, could be a play into it, is that it's just anything goes wrong. And we brought it up with preseason. You said, like mentioned, like this could have been his last hand. Chai Johnson did not look bad, and he's already their preferred third down running back. That high ankle sprain. He missed, for argument's sake, it's a high ankle sprain. He misses the first 3 weeks of the season. What if Ray Davis, through three games, has 280 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns? Like you mentioned, you're looking at 8, 9, 7 million because it's like, oh, well, this is the guy we drafted for.
Right.
Now he's cheaper and this is why we drafted him. He's your replacement, dude.
Yeah.
Done. Thanks for being a loyal soldier, the whole thing, but we're moving on now.
We're moving on. And I think that's the message anyway, is we're moving on. It is going to be a matter of how do you utilize Cook this year and see how both parties can benefit
mm-hmm.
from everything. At the same time, though, you're still going to use Ty Johnson on third down.
Yeah, well, that, and that's
you're still going to use
part.
Ray Davis for the offense, probably the punishing
really
situations.
Yeah.
And James Cook is still going to be the... And this is the thing about Cook. He's really good at a lot of things. He's great at the explosive play. But he's not the best at a lot of things, even in the running back room.
Mm-hmm.
He's not your most punishing runner, though he's gotten better at it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not your best third down guy. He's not even your best pass catcher out of the backfield. It's Ty Johnson. But he is consistent across the board, except for pass blocking.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, somebody else is the best at that. Power running, I would probably think they'd want Davis in that situation more than Cook. It really becomes this strange, like, almost bad timing. Like, Brady's everybody eats slogan also kind of plays into the backfield a little bit.
Well, I mean, yeah, you look at the touches for Cook. They go down pretty aggressively from 23 to 24. His total touches, because we're also bringing up him as a receiver. In 23, he had 281 of them. Last year, he had 239. You know, his yards per touch went down a little bit. His yards per target went down by almost 2 yards.
Right.
You know, in terms of the targets, they went down pretty aggressively. That's the thing that he did get much better at. He caught the targets he was given. 38 targets, 32 receptions. The yards, though, went down 2 yards. His touchdowns went down by 2, even with, you know, him having a pop-off in the rushing category. The thing he was sort of drafted for,
he hasn't really shined at.
He's never really been that guy. Even his rookie year is essentially a wash. 180 yards receiving, 507 rushing, and 3 total touchdowns. Or 507 and 3 total touchdowns. It's been these last 2 years he's popped. He's also trying to do what Terry McLaurin is doing right now, which is to get paid off of the big touchdown year you had. Terry McLaurin had a career high in touchdowns for Washington. He's trying to get paid in that sense. James Cook had an almost otherworldly pop-up in touchdowns, going from 4 in the last 2 years combined to then 16 last season.
Even
just
if you
on
go,
the ground.
Even if you go with combined touchdowns, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So like last year he had 18 combined touchdowns. In the 2 years prior, he's got 9.
Yeah.
Total. 9 total touchdowns, and you double it
mm-hmm.
the next year.
His yards from scrimmage also went down exactly 300.
But the one thing you can go ahead and say is that's even with Josh Allen taking some of those.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of your negotiation power. But how much of it is there really?
Yeah.
Because you have the Bills can say, yeah, well, we have Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He can be our goal line back again, much to the chagrin of some fans. And maybe, you know what, me, I don't like the idea of having to bulldoze the quarterback into the end zone.
The closer it gets to 30, the less you want of that. The tush push is its own sort of entity. The goal line, if you have another guy that can do it.
But even then, they showed last year they're more proficient at running the football with James Cook for a yard
mm-hmm.
than doing the tush push thing.
Yeah. Johnny tweets in, and this is sort of to your point as well, of he's played his last card and he lost. No win situation for him.
Yeah. And you watch the Bills offense with Mitch Trubisky run the football just fine
mm-hmm.
with Ty Johnson.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to have much more say at that point. The Bills will have to start preparing as if to move on without you. And Cook has been there for every install and every meeting.
Yeah, that's
so
the
he
team.
Also probably knows
yeah.
they're going to move on without me. It's going to cost me money. I have to come back. You know how the deployment's going to work at this point. You're getting to preseason game number 2. Things are about to get dialed up. It's about to get real. And that is where they know what's going on. The players in the meeting rooms, they know what's going on. They know the temperature of what is being measured out. They can't ignore those sorts of things. And mm-hmm. Cook cannot ignore it. When, if it looks like the team's going to have to get ready to prepare without you, it's a pretty simple fix. You just come back.
especially too, and it's mainly been on the defensive side of things, the Bills have been very good at learning how to live without good players. Whether it be Trey White, Matt Milano, Von Miller, they've learned how to play without them. They have not won a Super Bowl without them, don't get me wrong. But they've learned to continue to be successful and move on. Cook has seen that. He's been around that for all of it.
Right.
And already you're a guy that is not touching the ball 60% of the time, 75% of the time. They can maybe move off of you lot quicker.
Also, if you really wanted to hold in and make it into the season, tell me there isn't going to be at least a halfway decent running back that's on the waiver wire.
Right, that could be available.
You really want to play hardball? We can move on in a different way. We could drop that guy when you want to come back, but we can move on.
We can
prepare
on.
Without you. And that is probably another degree of this, of like Cook saying, yep, they're getting ready to prepare for Baltimore without me. It's time to come back. It's not working. We're not making any progress. Might as well get back in there. But again, this is all so weird, even for a contract dispute. But now that you think about it, all of them are weird in their own ways.
They all have their own
wrinkles. There are some that are pretty like standard for why it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Parsons and Hendrickson in particular, and you go, oh, it's because management is mistreating you, and it's actually being made kind of public.
Mm-hmm.
McLaurin, same kind of thing. You really, really want a certain number. But McLaurin has also had the hold in and even reported to mandatory minicamp and left.
Yep.
So it is a harder stance that he's been taking. And with Cook, again, it's that you showed up to everything first and then you decide to hold in. But now you're seeing that process being repeated in Pittsburgh. Cam Hayward. Hayward was practicing. Now all of a sudden he's doing the same thing. Why? You just renegotiated something last year. That's a different one. That's weird.
Yeah, that's that. Well, I think not that one. I wouldn't even say just weird. That one, you're not playing the game right.
Yeah, you're actually kind of doing it wrong.
And that's where I am almost always on the side of the. It's not my millions. I don't care. I'm usually on the side of the player. That is where it's in bad faith. You signed the deal 12 months ago, likely in less time, and then you're already upset about it.
It's not something that makes sense, and. That one, like at least with Cook, it's more weird on like the timing of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Hayward, it's I don't know if that's disrespectful or not, but like it's definitely not playing the game right, like you said. You're kind of doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sign a 1-year contract if you're gonna negotiate like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sign something, you can't sign an extension and then expect to come back after 1 year of really good football. Do you think management's coming after you to renegotiate after 1 year if it's not up to par?
Yeah, no shot. No shot.
What are you telling them? Uh-uh.
Yeah. Well, that's what Hendrickson did. Signed the 1-year deal with the anticipation. Hey, if you do this again, you know, we'll give you the big deal. And that's where their problems have come
from. Cincinnati not followed through on their end of it.
Right.
And, again, the Bengals have made these things kind of public a little bit on their negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, the Hayward thing, like, come on, man. What are you doing?
That one's weirdly been, like, super under the radar.
Like, well, it also only just happened.
Well, no, but like with any, like, because there were contract rumblings, but he showed up.
Right.
That one's just been super under the radar because of the TJ Watt stuff. Because
that was now the first
finished,
priority.
Yeah, now that that's finished, he's like, now, wait a second.
Now we're going to make some noise.
803-0550, the number two call. Let's go to the phones here. Rich is up first. Rich, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, great. Great to talk to you guys. You know what? I might be in the minority. And do I like it that the fact that this guy doesn't talk for 3 years? And when he does, he turns into his brother, you know.
Just
this whole cryptic thing and stuff. But when you look at it, professional athletes today, no matter how close we are to them, or we can commiserate, or they can show us behind the scenes on an NFL Films kind of thing, this is their chance, their only chance to cash their genetic golden ticket.
Right.
He makes $5 million. To you or me, $5 million is an ungodly amount of money, but your work career might only go to 30s, ours into the 50s mm-hmm. and 60s. He makes $5 million. It's $2.5 million. What is that? That's $250,000 before taxes for 10 years for the rest of your life. There's people in Clarence, couples in Clarence, who are building million-dollar houses. They make more than that with quote-unquote regular jobs. So I can see why we've all done this with our betting apps, right? Do I cash in now?
Right, yeah.
Or I hope the Bengals get a field goal or don't let up a touchdown on me.
Right, yeah.
And I think that's what he's doing. And you know what? No offense, but I needed a lawyer to help me close on my house. Do you think these guys don't have a cadre of lawyers, friends, family, mothers in their ears? You got to get me mine, do whatever. It's all of them. I mean, you'd be surprised. We talk about the salary cap. Look at the bottom third of the Bills roster. Again, an ungodly amount of money to you or myself. But in the long term of things, when your career could be over at 28 due to a turf injury in practice, it's not an awful lot of money, especially with the NFL not being guaranteed. So I can see the craziness. Yeah. This kid's got to be going through stuff we don't even know, because his head's got to be on a swivel. And he seems kind of res. He doesn't say too much. And, I mean, when you live in a town where, you know, a quarterback and his wife go out for French fries and it's a big ordeal.
Yeah.
You know, I feel for the guy, and I just hope what's best. Because as fans, whether he's there, we move on to the next one. So he's got to get in what he needs. So I'm pro James.
Yeah, Rich, thanks for the call. And real quick on that point, too. That's why I've said, like, especially at running back, you got to make a count now.
Yeah, and typically, you and I have said, we're pro player in this sort of thing. You know, like, the owners, I could go on about this all day, but I would rather not. For me, that's why, like, when you bring up Rich, thanks for the call again, when you bring up they have a cadre of people, you know, advisors, agents, everything like that, that's why I think he's getting bad advice from somebody somewhere, that this became so unconventional and weird. And I think there's a disservice being done to him by someone that he's supposed to be paying and or trusting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I look at the agent's track record with how he handled Shamar Stewart.
And it doesn't make me feel good about how he's going to handle James.
It doesn't make me feel good about how this works out for him in the end. I don't like that for Cook.
Mm-hmm. And while I do say it's not my millions, I don't care. As a Bills fan, you do want them to be somewhat responsible, but you do want
you want the player to be taken care of.
For their working career that could last till.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Only 30, while we'll go to the 50s, you want to make it big when you can.
Yeah.
803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a lovely Tuesday morning. The Bills are back at practice. And James Cook is back on the practice field as well. His hold-in may be over. We're not getting any word yet on any kind of contract or anything like that, but we do know he is on the field. Real quick before we take our next time out, though, we did get news yesterday. The College Football AP poll came out, the preseason
one. Oh, here we go.
And
here we go.
Don't even want to necessarily mention Texas, which they are at number one. Hook 'em.
It is the week one schedule, and the fact that they faced the number three.
They faced the number three in Ohio State at Ohio State.
I was wondering.
We have two other top 10 matchups, all of which will be actually at the home team's home stadium. It's on campus. These are not there. Now, there are neutral site games. Don't get me wrong.
But I love top 10 matchups being at their homes. Like, be for real.
So we got Texas at
Ohio
State.
Josh, you're being rude.
Horns down.
Yeah.
Stared me in the eyes.
I'm not even a Texas supporter. You're being rude. Out of pocket, mister.
I'm just holding him down the whole time. Just so you know.
The whole time.
You gotta know.
I think what's terrible is I didn't
love...
Well,
now what if I say about UB horns?
Well, then horns up.
Horns up, yes.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is with Texas...
So don't hold him down the whole time.
All right, fine. One up, one down.
There you go.
One up, one down.
Now, what I don't totally love about Texas being number one, this would be the last thing on this, is...
Oh, Here we go.
They don't typically, and I'm not saying they as in Texas, I mean the number one preseason ranked team doesn't typically win the national title. And it's a nice thing to have. It does not mean much.
Superstitious boy.
Yep. The other two top 10 matchups, at Clemson, number four in the ranked, mm-hmm. number nine LSU.
Nice.
And then to wrap up week one on a Sunday night, number 10 Miami hosts number six Notre Dame. Little Catholics versus convicts. Yeah.
Miami's 10?
Mm-hmm. Carson Beck, they're recruiting really well. Miami is slightly back. We'll see in terms of the entire ACC, but they're, for the most part, relatively back. Notre Dame as well. Really, really good. Although they have not named their starting quarterback, and that's a little curious. 803-0550, the number to call. David, we'll get to you if you hold on here after we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
So I think you got to lock a player like that up. You can't let him leave the building. He's still fresh. And I think keeping him and Josh Allen together, I think that's the future of the offense. You know, you drafted Keon. You know, you got all the puzzles put together right there. And I think he's just still scratching the surface. He's still a young back. And as you look at his numbers, they only on the rise. They steady going up. So for me, when you look at a young player and you get a young talent like that, I think you got no choice but to lock him up for the next few years and give him that comfort of you're here, you're Bill. You know, let's go keep winning.
Buffalo Bills running back James Cook's brother, Dalvin Cook, from earlier this offseason, talking about, well, I mean, he has no rooting interest in this, obviously, but he believes the Bills should lock up James Cook long term. He did mention there that, like, everything's steadily going up. It's not, except for touchdowns.
Right.
I'm not saying anything is, like, precipitously dropped off outside of his yards, you know, his scrimmage yards total. But, like, outside of touchdowns, everything went down.
Yeah. I mean, big plays.
Big plays, yeah.
Explosive plays. That was something that did go up. Yeah, numerically, it doesn't look like there was a lot that actually did increase for him. And I don't know.
To be fair, if he played more of the last game or he also played the Jets game, we're probably having a different conversation. Probably. There is nuance here. Don't get me wrong. I just technically, that is not true.
Technically,
that is not
true. I'm not even going to say technically. Statistically, it's not true.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which is brought to you, of course, by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We promised at the end of the last segment we'd be going back to the phones, and we will do that here as David is with us next. David, how are we doing this morning?
Doing pretty good, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I've been saying this since the beginning, when this all first started with his brother, where his brother basically stated that he deserves $20 million and this and that. And then Cook went to Twitter about him wanting $15 million. I'm still going to go with exactly what I said in the beginning. I think it is his brother being in his head. Listen, you put up 16 touchdowns last year. Your numbers are on the rise. They are. But at the same exact time, like, you're in a team right now that, in reality, the cap space is very tight because of the players that we have to play. I mean, that we have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's he has to be, his brother's in his ear saying this and this and that, but he has to understand at the same exact time where his brother's not in the league anymore because of the fact of him asking for more money, and then his brother's going to other teams, and then his performance is decreasing. So that's why his brother's not in there, and it feels like now he's trying to drag his brother down because of the performance that his brother has was possibly better than what he was. So it's hard to basically look at it. So.
Yeah, David, thanks for the call. I don't know necessarily if he's dragging him down. I think it's really, you know, to that point, Cook's career ends at 29. It's his final season.
Yeah.
He's 29 years old last year in Dallas. Josh Allen is 29 right now.
And he's got
Cook's career.
Comfortably 6 years. Comfortably.
Yeah, and Cook's career was done. I don't think it's dragging him down. It's to the point that we've been bringing up in the first hour, too, is it's running backs.
It's
you have this one real chance to get the big deal. Cook does get that. He gets it right towards the start of the 2021 season, I believe it is, and it's a five-year, $63 million deal, good for $12.6 million per year.
There's a misconception going on about that, that he signs that deal and he just falls off the face
right,
of the
planet. Right, and I played into that a little bit as well.
The thing is that he does have a couple years of production left. It's that his explosiveness is gone. The advanced metrics look at him and go, this is not going to be a good contract anymore. He's losing his big playability. He's losing the explosive ability. And I think it's also because the running back position treats players so harshly in their opening contracts. It becomes remarkably simple. From little league up until the professionals, if you make it there, you are being asked every time, ad nauseum, without doubt, run into a pile of humanity and let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of offensive linemen, it is, I may even say possibly more than offensive linemen, it has got to be the most physically taxing position in football because every play you have to get hit.
Every play.
Or you have to hit somebody.
Because even if you don't touch the rock, you're blocking.
Wide receivers?
And you're running into somebody that is bigger than you.
Wide receivers, you can shadow block.
Mm-hmm.
You can block someone without touching them.
Yep. It is a very taxing position.
You can run routes and not have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Running backs, sometimes they can run routes. Sometimes they're in pass pro. And you got to hit somebody. It is the most physically demanding skill position without a doubt.
Maybe outside of tight end, but tight end, are there bigger guys usually?
Tight ends are bigger guys too.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are built for that. Some of them have specific roles, like a blocking or receiving tight end.
Mm-hmm.
A running back, even the speedy scat back. Why do you think LeSean McCoy lasted as long as he did? It's because he learned how to protect himself from hits. And he did it in such a unique way. He's one of the best that there's going to be. He will make the Hall of Fame.
I do hope so. I haven't thought about that in a while. I do hope so.
He will. He's got a ring now, too. Like, mm-hmm. Two of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll make it. All of his accolades, and he's got a couple rings now with it to end his career, he's going to get in.
Yeah.
I don't know about first ballot, but he'll get in. But back to the point. Dalvin Cook signs that deal, and he still has a couple years left of production. And then it all falls off from there. But how often do you hear about it, the running back that he's there and then suddenly he's gone?
Mm-hmm. Todd Gurley is maybe the most famous example of recent memory of he is the engine of that early Sean McVay Rams offense. It's not Jared Goff. The offense really does move through Gurley. It lasts like a year and a half. And then he has knee arthritis and that's it. I also will bring up too with Dalvin Cook and probably why, both of, I guess as a positive and a negative depending on how you look at it, is pushing his brother James to get the contract. It's a long time ago, but Cook's rookie season was cut short for an ACL tear. He has to come back from it.
Right.
Immediately, his career started off with, this is not good, especially for your position. He does ultimately, 2019, 2020, really increase. The touchdowns are in double digits, what have you. It's 21 where, Derek, you've mentioned the explosive plays drop off, but even just his yards per game. I mean, in 2020, he's averaging 111.2 yards per game. It drops to 89.2. The touchdowns drop from 16 to 6. He drops 400 yards in total, and he only plays one less game. That's where it's a somewhat cautionary tale for teams, is that they gave him such a big contract, and almost immediately, because he does play that 2020 season under the contract, but it's 2020 where immediately the returns don't look as good. That's why I don't think anyone's ever brought up for Cook that it's going to be a five-year deal. No matter what money he gets, it's probably going to be about a three-year deal, like Kyren Williams, just because you can't really risk it. And I'll also say, too, for the running back as well, and this could play into Cook, and I know we've heard from fans as well that have said this, he's not used as much. That you can play into a positive of he's not on the field as much. He's not asked to pass block. So now he might have more years to give. And so maybe someone like James Cook will look to, I want to get $12 million here for 3 years, but the next contract, when he would be like 27, 28, get two more years, another $12 million per, because he still has legs to him. He has not taken the beating. You see a lot of NFL running backs that would get paid that amount of money do.
And considering, though, that like typically, even with as little or as much of a beating as a player can get,
even the healthier running backs, at 30, you're considered an afterthought already.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a cruel position at this point in terms of its evolution and the contracts and how they're negotiated at that point. Not just the contracts, but your draft stock.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's rare to see two running backs even get taken in the first round like this past year.
And before, I mean, well within our lifetimes, too. Like, that was the position you needed to take. You needed to have a good running back. You could take him early, and that was fine. When now, Saquon Barkley gets taken, what was he, second or third? He was second. He's taken second, and he's a 2,000-yard rusher. He's going to get in the Hall of Fame just from his Eagle career alone if it goes at least around this way for the next 2-3 years based off of running back shelf life.
But at the time, the Giants,
it was considered a horrendous pick, and he was considered can't miss. And he was still considered a bad pick. Bijan Robinson out of Texas, Doak Walker Award winner. And for Atlanta, it was still considered not really a great pick.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
DeAndre Swift. Or not DeAndre Swift.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Thank you for at least knowing what I was trying to say there when I threw the wrong name out there. But the Lions, they have a two running back system that really predicates both of them being at their best. Because once you hit 30 as a running back in the NFL, they basically think of you as dead. Derrick Henry's the lone exception because I'm still of the mind that I think he was born in a test tube.
Yeah, like 6'3", 230, runs a 4.4. It just doesn't make sense.
No, none of Derrick Henry makes sense biologically, scientifically. So, of course, he's going to be fine playing into his 30s. And one of the few players that gets a contract in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it and I think, you said Todd Gurley. I really, really forgot that his career lasted 6 years.
It's a very short career.
Nick Chubb, probably done now.
Yeah,
After his knee injury,
everything around that sounds awful.
He has not been looking good so far in Texans camp. And that would be a 7-year career. And that's what the last two cut short by playing a combined 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand it, and I want Cook to get paid. And I think it is. There's such a hard stance because the Bills, I think, are really of the mind of we can't afford to do this long term.
I mean, Bean has almost outright said it. When he talks about the James Cook extension, he always goes into, you know, you're looking 2-3 years down the road. You know, we pay this guy, but we can't pay 2-3 other guys. And for the Bills, especially at running back, they kind of like to do it by committee. They've done that for years, by the way. It's not just new with Cook. They did it with Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. And Singletary saw much more of the snap count. I think he averaged around 60% with the Bills at the time. Moss ultimately is a miss for them. But now they've got this working, and they've got the offensive line figured out. They don't really want to. And I'll also say this as well. How much of an appetite would a lot of us have to pay James Cook if Keon Coleman had 900 yards and 10 touchdowns last year in his rookie year? I think that's a big part of why some people want the Bills to pay James Cook. Outside of Allen, he's your best weapon. What if Dalton Kincaid? I listened to a little bit of the Bustin' with the Boys podcast. Josh Allen was on. And I listened predominantly to his segment this morning. And he mentioned Kincaid by name and the fact that he missed him for like wide open touchdowns 3 or 4 times. What if that worked? Kincaid doesn't pick up an injury, and their chemistry is better. The connection is better, and he has like 8 touchdowns compared to what he had, like 2 this year? Are we having these same conversations?
Right.
I think not, because that would prove the Bills have at least 1 or 2 high-end skill position players that maybe mean more to the quarterback. Maybe. I don't want to say that definitively, but maybe mean more to the quarterback, where James is good, but I'd rather my quarterback have the ball in his hands throwing it to Keon Coleman or Dalton Kincaid, if either hit. I think the fact that Keon, we never really got a full look into his rookie year, whether it be the injury or what have you. Kincaid, the injury as well. We didn't get the upgrade from year number 1 to year number 2. I think it has made James Cook far more valuable in the minds of many Bills fans. And to be fair, I have also said, I want him here at least this year because he's the only known commodity I have on the offense, really, outside of Josh Allen. But by week 5, that might not be true anymore.
I'm trying to look into like running backs with several thousand-yard seasons and when it starts to go wrong for them. And the answer is typically after you get to 3 or 4 of them in a row.
Yeah, it starts to fall off.
And then I looked at Christian McCaffrey. He He's been in the NFL now for 8 years. However, injury has cut short several of his seasons. And he only has four seasons where he gets over 1,000 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's banged up a bunch of times.
I mean, to the point, and that he's going to Germany last year to figure himself out.
And right now, he's like one of the few players that's not injured at San Fran camp.
Mm-hmm.
But how effective is he?
Yeah, we don't really know
the
McCaffrey you're getting anymore.
Is he done at this point? At age 29?
Yep. It's getting to that point already. Now, it's funny with McCaffrey, too, because he's a lot like the Gurley in the sense. And now, young guy as well, Jahmyr Gibbs, you're looking a lot at the total yards per scrimmage. He's also had some absurd years where he's over 2,000 yards from scrimmage, you know, double-digit touchdowns, what have you. And that's also a part of it for me. You know, Cook really should be the yards per scrimmage guy. And he's not at the top end for that. He's just, what did he have, 1,200 last year? Is that what I said?
Mm-hmm.
From yards from scrimmage? Almost 1,300. His second year actually pointed to he's a yards from, and he should be getting towards like 1,800 in the following year. Instead, he drops off by 300. He gains more touchdowns. Don't get me wrong. There is a positive there. But when I look at other young guys, most notably for me at least, we've already mentioned him in terms of that a shocking draft pick, Jahmyr Gibbs. In year two, he has 250 rushing attempts compared to James Cook's 207. He has 400 more yards rushing. He has 16 touchdowns. He has 1,900 yards from scrimmage and 20 touchdowns.
And I think that is the difference, though, between a first-round talent and a second.
In which you traded back towards the end of the second
round. Yes. And then there's Derrick Henry. Because I just started looking at running backs that have been relevant through the recent scope of years. Henry has...
But I for
his
me,
first 2 years, he doesn't get to 1,000 yards mm-hmm. of total scrimmage yards. Then he never looks back. And there's only 1 year that he doesn't get to 1,000 rushing yards after this so far. Mm-hmm. And that's in eight games when he has 937 yards. The dude is like
he's
when
inevitable.
I say test tube baby, it is the compliment of all compliments. I don't understand how he does it. And because I still don't know how to understand it, because it's not like Henry's a receiving back at all.
No, he's a total.
It is all on the ground.
He's a total
he led the league.
Back, yeah.
He's led the league four times in carries.
Mm-hmm.
And he had another 325 this past year. I don't know. How do you do this? But even back in the day, okay, like when we're younger, running backs and in fantasy, I do believe it was a Michael Turner that really came to light on like when you should start avoiding running backs. It was called the curse of 370 touches.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start avoiding a back, because the next year they're probably going to be broken down. Because again, when you're touching the football, you are being asked to go into a pile of humanity.
Now you do wonder though, with Cook, last year was 239. The year prior was 281. He's not getting up there. And that's where I think he could use that in a negotiation. I look at it more as the negative. He's not on the field enough.
That's the thing.
But other teams can look at and go, there's something there.
There's something there.
Mm-hmm.
I could have. And that's why free agency is really going to be important for him. I think he gets the contract he wants. It's just not going to be here. I think it's the Bills understanding they can't pay what you want, but somebody will.
Yeah, somebody's going to do it.
Somebody might do it. It's just not going to be us. And it has to do more with we don't have room.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Kind of threw it up on Twitter here. The Holden appears to maybe be over. And why do you believe that James Cook...
I love how uncertain you sounded on that.
Why do you think James Cook went back to practice? Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Tom has an idea that is very similar to a tweet we read earlier. And it's, I think he sustained a mild injury where normally he would still practice, but with his contract situation, he chose quote-unquote business, which has been something that Cook has said multiple times. He likes his money. He stands on business, which was code for him not risking anything until he gets a deal done or the season starts. That's been a big thing for me, too, the season starts. I have never thought Cook was going to miss meaningful games. We know how I feel about preseason games. It simply does not matter to me.
Right.
If Allen plays on Sunday or he doesn't, it doesn't change anything for me. The only thing that will change is if he does play, I will wait impatiently for him to leave the field.
I do love the variance of the comments underneath the tweet today, though.
It's because no one knows. There's a fun way to go about it because no one knows.
No one knows, and again, it's fun to theorize, like I'd mentioned at the start of the show. But to get world champ Bandits tweeting and he's bored and misses his friends.
I mean, it's totally understandable.
That's a guys being dudes tweet, and I love it.
He just wants to get out there with the guys. He misses the boys, and we've all been there. I totally understand that.
Corey tweets, and he must have seen the rough cut of this week's episode, Gotta Save Face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, man, I'm going to be looked at and painted as a villain. I don't want that. I want a contract from another team. I'm back. Yeah, I don't – maybe.
It is funny, though, like because he did return to practice today, there has been no news yet on if there's a contract or anything like that. I think practice
and I doubt there will be.
And I doubt there will be. You do wonder, though, what Hard Knocks will look like tonight. Especially, we've all seen episode one. It painted the Bills in a really colorful light. It was overly positive. And I think many of us enjoyed it. I did it. I did in spades.
And the neutral fan is going to say, this is boring.
This is boring. But with Cook now being back at practice today, are they going to play that up a ton? Is this going to be the James Cook-centric episode? I know I'll be a little surprised if they get him to sit down and talk about this at length. I'll be very surprised. He's not Matt Milano levels of, like, if they got him to sit down for an interview, they've solved world peace. It's not going to be that. But it would be quite surprising if they got Cook to sit down and really talk about this in length. I could see his agent talking if they really got him to sit down for it. But I said it with Sal when he joined us earlier today. I just don't totally see this ending yet.
And that's the thing is that we, like when you said it, like you read it, you sounded so uncertain about it just now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because everything about this has taken turns that we have not expected. I heard the agitation in Sean McDermott's voice on Saturday, and I thought, oh, this is going to get worse before it gets better. But I know that in my heart of hearts, he's not going to miss the regular season. I was on down the road with our sister station in Rochester, 95.7 The Fan in Rochester, yesterday. And they asked, when is this going to... Is this going to leak over into the season? No. Yeah. I still believe that. Absolutely not. He would not cost himself actual game checks at that point. And if you miss week one, are you going to really get the lion's share of the carries coming back? No, you're going to get broken into live action slower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to cost you more money. That is the other part of it. No, this is not going to – we know that there's a finite deadline, really.
Yeah.
And again, if not, fire the agent because then you're getting terrible advice.
Yeah, especially as a running back. If you get to the point where you're missing games on what would be a year before free agency.
That's terrible advice if you're getting that, and fire the agent if he's giving that to you because he's doing you a misservice.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.
Cole's the one who's missed quite a bit of time, again, just like last year. So, you know, it remains to be seen what he's truly able to do and do for us. And, you know, that's a big position for us, right? So, and then, like I mentioned, numerous times over, the continuity between the two of them, you know, kind of like the Batman and Robin piece. Like, it's just experiencing things together. How did you see it? How did I see it? Being in the film room together, it's huge. And we're getting short on time.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott, earlier today before practice, there he is talking about Cole Bishop. That is maybe the other storyline from today. James Cook being back in the field is the biggest one, no doubt. Bishop also back on the field, limited today. You could tell, though, listening to McDermott there in that clip and throughout, you know, his meeting with the media this morning, he is, at best, on edge about the injuries. And to specific players as well. Like, him talking about Bishop there, I know Nate Geary, who you hear all the time on the station, especially during Bills games, you know, he mentioned that there's a pretty good chance here that Bishop just might be a bust, flat out of the fact he can't stand the field. But it has gotten to a point, knowing, I can't remember if it's Hyde or Porter that Sal's brought up, that it took them like 2 years to fully understand this. I believe it's Hyde.
Yep.
Bishop has not been on the field. It hurt them last year. He missed 3 weeks with a shoulder injury. He could never catch up to a safety room that, and we talked about this with the DBs, with the corners, a safety room that was sort of begging for help. It was doing the job. It was not great. Hamlin is a nice piece to have as a backup, but I saw Jeremy tweeting this morning or talking in this morning with the chat. I think PFF had him rated as like the 89th ranked safety or 85th ranked safety out of like 93.
Yeah,
that's good for you've got to play a few plays or a game or two because of injuries. That is not what you should be trotting out there for 17 games. Bishop never could make up the ground after he missed camp. It was only 3 weeks, but those were valuable reps. McDermott talks about that a lot. He never made up that ground. And now this year, he picks up a quad injury. He's missed almost the same amount of time. I think he's missed like 2 weeks. Right. And Rapp has been injured as well, and he talks about it there. The Batman and Robin, they're not picking up the most, you know, the valuable enough time. We don't know what Bishop can be. We talk about it in the positive sense. It could be like Terrell Bernard 2 years ago. Barely played in the preseason at all, or at camp at all. Didn't play in the preseason. And yet week one, you're like, okay, I get why they trusted him to be out there.
But we've seen Bishop, he hasn't grasped it right away. It wasn't a Terrell Bernard thing. And his first action in the NFL that he gets to play in
due to injuries
and finally coming back from his, we see something that we haven't seen in like 3 years from the Bills, which is getting torched deep over the top. That's something that rarely happens with the Bills.
And then after that game, he plays 100% of the snaps in that week five game against Houston. 4.1, 0, 1.6, 7.8, 0, 0, 0. Then it picks up at the end of the year. 59.5, 100, 100, 57.8, 0, 66.1. And then he starts the AFC Championship because Taylor Rapp is hurt. He never really caught up. He just didn't. He plays 71.9, by the way, in the loss to Baltimore. I think that was due to injuries. He had to come in. So it wasn't even starting then. He starts the year at 7.9, 19.7. And again, this is just the snap count percentage. But he never really could catch up until the end of the year. The hope was, okay, the rookie year's behind him. He really started to play late. Now we go into this season and he's rocking and rolling. We talked about it before camp where it's like him and Rapp. Maybe they're going to finally get Rapp into his more comfortable role. We just haven't been able to see it.
Could you see on cutdown day if a notable safety is available that the Bills kick the tires on that? If Bishop is not the starter week one,
they should. I think you know what you get in Hamlin and Rapp to a certain extent, Derek Forrest, but he hasn't done anything. I will also say they did sign a safety today. Trey Herndon. Now that could be just due to the fact that they need to have bodies out there. Derek Forrest may have picked up an injury that, or they just kind of want to have more out there. But this is also where you're hoping Jordan Hancock, who one of the few times today that McDermott did not seem agitated, was talking about Hancock. They haven't actually found a position for him. And that's a good thing because he's played well at corner and safety.
Yeah, because it means that he's not lost in either one of them. He was one of the better Bills in that game against the Giants. I would start looking more at safety with him based on availability and the depth that you have at corner.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're back to, as well, a conversation we had at the time of the draft when the Malachi Starks stuff was coming out and like, oh, could the Bills reach at safety? I think we're already at a point, even if Bishop hits, you probably need to put higher-end assets into that position. Because if one guy is not there, it seems like the house of cards is falling for them.
And
you can
also
hear how agitated McDermott is.
It doesn't help that Taylor Rapp plays such a physical style that he's going to remove himself from the lineup at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just something that happens with him. It's the style. Like Taron Johnson.
Yeah.
You know that Taron Johnson is not going to play a full season because he plays a physical style that his size doesn't like to agree with.
Yeah, size is not a big fan of it.
He's loved for it, but
it's great.
It's why he misses a couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily the Bills, they get him back typically.
Yes.
But when you get older, that's going to stop being as frequent. The return is not going to be as rapid. Taylor Rapp is the same way. He's a thumper. Thumper-style guy who has more range. Hamlin is a thumper as well, but Hamlin's also purely a box safety.
Mm-hmm.
And for a team that wants to play a little bit more of that too high a lot, a box safety is not ideal.
Just not.
It's not.
Just not.
It's why the Bills are kind of susceptible to the run game. They like to make sure that they don't get beat deep.
Mm-hmm.
They love playing a too high set. They have incorporated a little bit more man last year, but they love playing a too high set.
Like a lot of the league.
Like a lot of the league. Because they know that if you're facing a Joe Burrow, a Patrick Mahomes, I'm not letting you get the easy one. You gotta earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Bills have infamously been bend, don't break, because eventually an extended drive falls short. Or a lengthy drive that starts inside an opponent's 10-yard line fizzles out right before field goal range. Like, those are things that happen. It is statistics. It's also why they need to be better on third down.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to play that style, you do need to make sure you end drives.
And not just with turnovers.
And not just with turnovers.
You can't rely on it. I know that the defensive statistics
look like. They do it every year, which is weird.
It's also not a way that it works, because you need that every game. And that's just, we see it in the AFC Championship. We see it in games against the Mahomes-led Chiefs. It does not happen often. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have some injury news from Bills practice.
I was just going to say it, yep. And it's making me upset. So you could say it.
Left tackle Deion Dawkins did leave practice with athletic trainers today. No indication of what the injury was. He did not return. Could also beat nothing.
I know. But can I say it again that this preseason, this training camp has been hell itself?
Mm-hmm. Well, because we didn't even mention it there. I mean, Cole Bishop has not been out there. But as we brought up, he missed most of the camp for his rookie year. Harrison has become that this year. With the LCL sprain, he has missed most of camp. It has not been a good time for them with injuries. They have not had anything drastic, season-ending, crippling to the roster. No, but they have had very, very frustrating runs of injuries here where it's 10, 12 guys out. None of them are season-ending. None of them maybe even are going to stop certain guys from playing week one. But they are missing valuable reps and time where they need to build chemistry. They need to build a rapport. That's where Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp come in. Harrison battling for cornerback two. How much are you really going to get out of Trey White? He's looked good in camp, but with his age, with the injuries he's picked up, how long will that go for before it's, yeah, they're going to just pick on him. Opposing teams are just going to pick on him, and they're going to say, to hell with Bishop, to hell with Benford, we're just going to go over here. We kind of saw it in the Giants game. Now, they don't really game plan for specific teams, but you do wonder how long that's going to last. And for Harrison missing as much time as he has, it may have to last longer than we all want.
Yeah, I just, more than ever, can we get ourselves to September, please? And I don't like the idea, the mindset, because I had it a couple of years ago. You talked me off the ledge of it, of like, can we just get to January?
Mm-hmm.
I do want to appreciate the season as it goes.
Want to enjoy it?
I have nothing to appreciate about this preseason. It has been nothing but mean to me.
Mm-hmm. Again, they haven't had the disastrous season ender, anything like that, and knock on wood, right? But it has been incredibly frustrating. You know, Josh Palmer has missed some time as well. He has not always been able to take part in team activities. You have the Cook hold-in. Your offensive line, Spencer Brown, deals with the back flare-up to start the year. Now we've got the Deion Dawkins situation. We don't even know how bad that is. And then everything on defense. Funny enough, the two guys you may be most worried about because they have picked up injuries recently, Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, been completely fine.
I would think, though, if you're still with, it's the fact that he didn't return at all.
Mm-hmm.
He was still holding his helmet, according to Sal's tweet, but, I don't know what to think. I don't want to overreact to Deion Dawkins, but also, I want nothing touching Deion Dawkins.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Kind of the topic of today has been also James Cook. We've moved a little bit over to the defense here, but we'll go back to Twitter and we'll get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. After holding in, why do you believe James Cook is back at practice? Sean tweets in, the real answer, I think, is he realized after the Kyron Williams of the Rams, that he wasn't going to get much higher than that. Genuine progress was made, and as a show of good faith, he's back. I think that is a good theory there, and I don't say theory as, you know, disparaging it, but it's all we really have is theories. That's something I've thought about, is that once the progress stalled, that's when the Holden began. The Bean comments afterwards make it sound like they weren't really that close on a deal, but they could have been having constant conversations, and that allowed him to go out there, and if the conversations ended, he wasn't going to go out there.
Right.
This could be a sign that the conversations have restarted. McDermott even said kind of in his press conference as well, they've got new information, there's movement, what have you, and then Cook is out there in full practicing. Neither of us expect a contract announcement. But I think Sean is probably spot on here as well, that this is a show of good faith. The negotiations have restarted, or at least are making good progress. I think that's a really good way to look at it, and I think it's probably, without outright knowing, the closest to the truth.
Just so that everyone knows, James Cook declined to speak to reporters after practice.
Unsurprising. I'm telling you, if I see today on Hard Knocks that he's speaking with the media, I'll be absolutely floored. If he speaks with Hard Knocks today longer than 5 seconds, I'll be floored.
Right.
They've got a lot of quiet guys on this team, and that's fine. They've got a lot of like loud guys, too, and that's no issue. Dawkins, Josh, like they're big personalities. But Milano, Cook, not so much.
They don't like even using words where there's microphones nearby.
Could you – seriously, though, HBL sits him down, and they're doing it like on the bleachers like they did with Allen where, you know, to start up the season. Could you imagine them sitting James Cook down and going,
no.
Hey, so the contract negotiates and stuff, just walk us through that.
No.
Just walk us through like
I don't even think they
mindset.
Get
– No shot.
That picture you're trying to paint right now, it's not real.
No shot.
Even in your imagination – like, as you're describing it, the other side is, like, fizzling away like Thanos snap.
Yeah, no shot it happens. I will tell you, the one thing I've had a real issue with Cook throughout this whole process is, man, it's 90. Take the beanie off. It is so hot out. And he's look, it looks cool in the picture until I'm like, I've walked outside. It's hotter than the surface of the sun. And he's wearing a beanie and sunglasses. Just wear the sunglasses, man. It's too hot. And it's not like he's got a full head of hair, too. It's toasty underneath that hat.
Hang on.
That's my only issue. I'm worried about his health.
No. I'm not worried about that at all. You don't know why? James Cook is from Florida.
Well, he changed it super hot.
No. Ready? That's normal.
I mean, I have seen people in Florida do weird things.
Also, it's this plus humidity down there right now. Hell itself.
I know, but like wait like a month.
Nope.
It's not even that long.
Ready?
Just wait like a month. You can wear the beanie and sunglasses.
It probably doesn't affect him. It doesn't affect him the way it affects us. Because of the fact that he's from Florida.
I don't know. Speaking of Florida.
Florida.
Though, the weird things
I don't
I've
know
seen.
How some, like, and I know we have some listeners that are from Florida. I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't. I don't.
Oh, I can get there. I like
absolutely
the heat, don't
not.
Get me wrong. It's the stuff that, like, when my family have taken Disney vacations and I see someone had to buy their new hoodie, in July they decide to wear it the moment they walk out of the store. Or people with, like, the work boots walking around the parks. I'm like, what is going on? Now, I'm going in December this year, so it's probably going to be a little different.
No, ready?
But that, like, radicalized me towards
even in December.
Ridiculousness.
Still. Like, you could not catch me in long sleeves, even like light long sleeves in December in Florida. Not a chance.
I don't know. Still, it's 90 degrees out and the beanie's out.
No, nope. Like, that's to me, that's a Florida kid.
I understand the
that's
fashion
a Florida
statement,
kid
but.
Through and, that's a Florida kid through and through.
Mm. 803-0550, the number two call. Coming up at 12 o'clock, Sabres Live. You're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here. We'll get you over to Sabres Live at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. One story I do want to bring up here, and top of last hour we brought up college football. We're going to do that here again.
And this
is a story up until this morning I thought was fake.
I could not stop laughing when I saw this.
I thought it was fake, full blown. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Oklahoma quarterback transfer in quarterback John Mateer apparently is in a bit of a scandal, as back in 2022 when he was still at Washington State, he Venmo'd a buddy of his sports gambling, UCLA versus USC, and another Venmo payment of sports gambling. We don't know the actual amount. Obviously, it's Venmo. but this was from the 2022 season, and it appears to be legit. And his profile...
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut.
An artist.
An actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW. Countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Picture is him in a Washington State jersey.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Dude.
I will tell you, though, I didn't know this was legit until this morning when I saw College Football like on 3 tweet about it, and they had an Oklahoma reporter on to talk about it. I didn't know this was legit. I thought it was, well, BS. And like SEC fans, you know, there is that we're just going to, you know, kind of screw around, what have you. No, it's legit. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I can't. Like, how do you – if you're going to put the actual reason for a payment on Venmo where everybody can see it, either put it on private or have a code word, I'm not
– yeah, I'm honestly
– I can't – you can't – like, there's got to be like a receipt with a transaction number or something, my guy. Like, you can't do that.
I do wonder, though, too, and just listen to a quick
clip. Man.
Andy Staples was talking with the reporter for Oklahoma, whose name I cannot remember, but it was basically like the premise of, you know, back in 2022, he was a 3-star recruit from a small town in Texas going to Washington State. Did he maybe not understand the rules of, like, you can't gamble on college football? Look, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he didn't. I also find that absurd. I find that just flat out absurd.
I'm with you on the fact like this has to be fake. There's no way you can be that. I'm trying to be nice, but I'm trying to find the word for it. But it also needs this word. Dense.
Well,
how can you be that dense?
Yeah, and this is on 3. This is the report that I saw this morning. Oklahoma is aware of the John Mateer Venmo transaction and is handling it. The reporter George Stoya of the Sooner Scope reports Mateer made it clear to the school that he has never gambled, which is technically true if we're going off of the Venmos, because he'd just be sending his buddy money to maybe do it for him.
And
again, this is all reportedly. We don't know anything about this. It's all kind of coming out in the last 12 or so hours. Again, I thought it was fake up until this morning.
And ready? Since then, he has scrubbed it.
Oh, so it's legit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, is there anything I would say necessarily, like, could there be a lot of things worse, obviously, than this? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know the rules, then don't put it out there for everybody to see it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Because, ready? Here's another one. Because it's also on there. November 23rd, 2022. John Mateer is paid for Ultra Sports Gambling FIFA World Cup.
Oh my goodness. Dude.
Zach, every day I question where is the real threshold for the intelligence of humanity, and every day I am baffled about it.
Yep. And then last thing here before we get going, Bills quarterback Josh Allen is speaking with the media, and this is from Joe Biscaglia. He had this on James Cook. Quote, "As players, we sometimes have to separate the business in this sport. I know both sides thought they were doing the right thing. I'm just very happy he's out there." No word yet on if there is a contract extension for James Cook or if just the hold-in period of this negotiation is over. We'll find out in either the coming hours or the coming days. But that'll do it for me and Derek. Coming up after a quick timeout, get a little hockey talk in as Sabres Live follows this timeout. You're listening to WGR.